Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy, the Scooby Secrets spoiler section. Today we're talking about season 5, episode 10, Into the Woods. And okay, guys, we got this. Last episode that we really have to talk about Riley until next season, then we only have to talk about him for one episode. We got this. We can do it. I know we're just like so done.
I always forget about the episode that Riley comes back. Like, I always celebrate in this episode, like, yes, Riley's gone. And then I forget about the fact that when he comes back, and this is an unpopular opinion, I almost hate him more when he comes back.
Oh, no.
Because it's
that's
like,
not an unpopular opinion. A lot of people hate that episode.
Oh, really? I always feel like people are like, he's better when he comes back. What pisses me off about that is that it's like he comes back with this wife and is almost like haughty over Buffy, where he's like,
well, Buffy's going through struggling era. Yes, and he kind of like rubs it in
her
face.
You have literally no idea what she's going through, and you're annoying as brick. No one wants you back here, and you cheated on her. I'm just saying, it's just more of like his attitude pisses me off so much in that one, because it's like he's almost like he's just like giving the aura of like, oh, like I'm so glad I left, like you just didn't deserve me. And it's like, do you remember why you were going to leave in the first place? Oh yeah, it's because you felt guilty over what you did. Like, oh, I can't. I hate that episode.
I'm excited for when you guys watch that episode again, because I actually bit the bullet and watched it again in preparation for this.
You did?
For this episode. I did,
wow,
you guys.
Wow, Sarah.
And look at me doing my research.
Couldn't be me. Could not be me.
The odd Tabby's voice right now. Whoa, good for you. It's giving bless your heart.
Honestly.
No, I watched that episode and I have mixed feelings about it, and I won't divulge completely until we watch it again in season 6. Riley comes off, I think, a lot better than you guys remember. He's not perfect, and there are definitely some things that I raised an eyebrow about. But I didn't get the same vibe that you did, Leah. I listened very carefully for that because I was like looking for that. He actually was very kind to her. He actually like had no judgment for her and was very encouraging. That being said, there are still like some problematic things about that episode and about his characterization in particular. And yes, I will talk about them in a second because I wrote them down. But go ahead. You're going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, like, I just struggle to really understand why they even brought him back. Mm-hmm. And maybe it has been because I haven't seen that episode in a while. So, like, maybe when I watch it, I'll get the themes and understanding more.
Sure.
It just, like, to me, it always felt like they only brought him back to really dig the nail in the coffin. Like, Buffy's in a terrible place. It's like, we didn't need Riley to come back for us to know that. Like, we knew that. Like, and I don't know. I just... Yeah, I don't like him being back. I think it's unnecessary.
No, totally. Well, I think that's more the fault of the writers attempting to make a parallel between Buffy sleeping with Spike and Buffy letting Riley go in this episode. It's not necessarily Riley himself that is grating in the episode. It's the way the episode is trying to frame Buffy's actions towards Spike and Riley. But let's shelve that for just...
Let's
just shelve that for just a second, because I'm going to have that at the very end of our episode. So this is your guys' little teaser for the end, because that's going to be a really interesting discussion. I actually wrote down a couple of things to talk about, but just the precursor to all that. So, and I know we talked about this before, but Riley's saying in this episode, don't sell yourself short, Buffy. You stayed strong the whole time, Buffy. You never even cried. And then we've actually already recorded Triangle, the next episode. But do you guys remember how there was that part in the script that was cut out of the episode where Dawn says to Buffy, wow, I don't think I've even seen you cry since Riley left and stuff. And Buffy says, oh, I have cried. There's been tears. That's like a common thing where everyone's like, wow, Buffy, like, you're so strong because you haven't cried.
Why is that a thing? And also, well, why do you want to see her cry? Well,
that's such odd. A stigma of, like, early 2000s and 90s, where it's, like, even now, where people like, assume that strength is not showing emotions. Like,
they strength is not crying.
If we haven't seen you mourn, well, that's what I mean. It's like, we haven't seen you be sad. We haven't seen you cry. We haven't seen you mourn. So therefore, you're so strong. And in some cases, I do think that is accurate. Like if a parent, I was talking about this with one of my coworkers, because there's a kid at the school that I work at that he was crying, and I was like talking to him, and his grandpa died. And and I was just thinking about how the mom probably needed that time, because it was the mom's dad. The mom probably needed that time for the kid to go to school so that she could process her dad dying.
Yeah.
So that when she picks up her kid from school, she's able to be there for the kid's emotions. And so in that sense, there is as a parent, and I mean, I can only speak on this so much, but like, as a parent, you have to put your emotions sometimes on the back burner for your kids. Mm-hmm. So there is, you know, there is always an exception to the rule where it's like, you know, there is a strength in knowing when you can mourn. But Buffy not crying in front of people, and people then just assuming that she's not feeling it, is just, I think it's always used against her. And that's so sad. It's always just like, you're so cold, you never feel anything, nothing ever affects you. And coming from someone who got this a lot in high school, when I really just didn't cry in front of people, I didn't really show emotions, you know, I'm not gonna bring up all that trauma, but it would honestly piss me off when people would be like, oh, Leah just doesn't feel anything, or oh, Leah's just so cold. And I would just be like, yeah. Like, I just wouldn't say anything because I'm like, what do you want me to say? No, I feel everything. Like, that's weird. But I would just always get to this place where I was like, when people would say that or do that, I would just kind of be like, you don't get it. Like, you don't get it. And so sometimes when Buffy gets those kinds of comments, like, obviously I'm very much projecting, but like, I just like see that and I just get like upset for her, because I just like remember what it felt like to be feeling so much but not showing it. And like, people didn't believe me, or people didn't think that I was feeling something that I was, because I wasn't crying in front of them. And I don't fault Dawn as much, because Dawn is younger and therefore has a lot less of an outlook on life as Riley does. But it's just like, when Riley says that, it really just makes me go like, oh, you don't know her. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get her. Because the people who would always tell me that I was like emotionless, heartless, didn't feel things, cold, whatever, were always people that like didn't really know me. Like, mm-hmm. because the people that knew me knew I felt things really deeply and knew I mm-hmm. was really emotional. I just was very specific about just who I showed it to.
Her emotions around people, oh, yeah. She didn't feel safe around.
I always have been. Understandable. I always have been. And so I think that like, when I see Buffy and hear Riley saying that to her, I'm like, oh, you don't know her. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get it. Like, and I know that's such a small thing. It's such an offhanded comment. But it's just like, it's one of those things where I sit there, and this is why I will defend Buffy and her relationship with Riley to the day I die. Because I'm like, she gave him as much as she could, and he just didn't see it. Because she does show him that she's emotional and that it's hurting her. Like, she does put that like on him, and he just like doesn't see it. He doesn't get it. Like, oh, it's... That was a rant, but whatever.
That's okay. It's good. Well, and the show nitpicks the crying thing for some weird reason. Like, Riley has mentioned mm-hmm. it like two times now. Dawn mentions it in Triangle. Do you guys remember the third time it's mentioned, when Buffy breaks down?
I think it's in season 6, but I can't remember.
No, it's later this season.
Oh, what? Oh, there's a really big moment in
Forever.
Yes, I remember. I can't believe I remember that.
I know. Well done. I was expecting it to be Tabby.
I'm
channeling Tabby from 9 minutes ago. Wow, I'm proud of you. I'm impressed. No, but So interestingly, this spot in the room when Riley and Buffy are dancing in this episode, and Riley mentions the whole thing, like, you're so strong, you know, you haven't even cried. This is the exact same place where Buffy and Dawn will have that moment when Dawn tries to bring Joyce back in forever. And Buffy finally breaks down. We have that moment where they're standing in front of the window. Dawn says, Mom died. And it's like, you don't even care. I love this
probably
moment.
Ever in the show, to be honest.
I agree. I think this episode, this moment is more moving to me than the body. Like, no, the same. Body is great.
I'm so excited to get to forever.
And I also think it's like that moment's so beautiful because it's not two people who don't know each other. It's two sisters who are mourning differently.
And they're like, and so what do we do together?
Yes, and it comes across as so differently than this because Riley isn't really in mourning. He likes Joyce, but like... It's not his mom. But like, so him making a comment about crying is so like, what the frick? But like when, why am I blanking? I just said her name.
Joyce?
Dawn.
What the heck? Oh my gosh. But I need sleep so bad. But when Dawn and Buffy are having that conversation, it's more of two people who are mourning very differently. Buffy internalizes everything and Dawn externalizes everything. She's mad. She's angry. And like Buffy just feels pressure and almost numb. And you're seeing them kind of collide and come at a head. And that's a completely different situation. But I do feel like the show almost villainizes Buffy for not being as expressive. Or maybe not the show, because it's like, that's so dramatic. But like, I do feel like certain characters villainize Buffy in a way for not being as expressive about her emotions.
And I think it's also what bothers me is it's the show trying to push this narrative of Buffy through the characters, and sometimes in ways that don't even make sense, like we've talked about with Riley. But in Forever, again, they're in this spot and Dawn says, Mom died, and it's like, you don't even care. And Buffy has tears in her eyes and says, of course I care. How can you even think that? Dawn says, how can I not? You haven't even cried. You've just been running around like it's been some big chore or something, cleaning up after Mom's mess. Then Buffy slaps Dawn across the face and then puts her hand over her mouth in horror and says, Dawn, I've been working. I've been busy because I have to. And Dawn says, no, you've been avoiding me. And Buffy says, I'm not. I have to do these things. And then she just breaks down. She goes, because when I stop, then she's really gone. And then she says, I'm trying, Dawn. I am. I'm really trying to take care of things, but I don't even know what I'm doing. Mom always knew. And then Dawn says, nobody is asking you to be Mom. And then Buffy says,
people,
well, who's going to be?
People say that in the moment. Like, I really feel Buffy in this moment because she's like, also, like, I also gatekeep my emotions now, too. It's like, I, like, just because people don't see me break down in front of them doesn't mean that, like, that doesn't happen behind the scenes. But also, like, people say things in the moment a lot of the times because they're just trying to, like, connect. And I get that. Like Donna's like, no one's asking you to be Mom. But, like, Buffy's thinking, like, who's going to step up because I always have to. And at this time, like, I'm not used to having to do that with my parent. Like, there's a different dynamic there, you know? And having Dawn with her, like, she's thinking, like, but who's going to? And she even says that in that scene. She's like, but who's going to be?
Who's going to take care of us?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And Dawn, it hits Dawn. And I love the end of that episode because then you see Buffy break down and then rely
and
on her sister.
But also Dawn making the decision for her to be like, no, I'm shielding you from seeing Mom like this.
Yes. Yes. Because in that moment, Buffy wants to see her mother and
she's
Dawn
so
goes
desperate in that moment.
And Dawn realizes she has to take that responsibility on for herself and protect
Buffy.
I just
got goosebumps. That's so true. I never, as I said it out loud, I was like, I've never processed that. You know what I love about this episode or about this podcast is I'll be saying things out loud and I didn't think I thought it like that. And as I'm saying it, I'm like, that's a really good point. Oh my word. Where'd that come from? And that was that moment for me right there. I was like, oh my word, yeah, Dawn makes that decision for her to protect her because she understands her in that moment. And as sisters, they are taking care of each other in that way.
Right. And Dawn is also that whole – oh, I can't wait to talk about that scene. But that whole scene, Dawn is supposed to represent Buffy's childlike innocence, Buffy's innocence. And so the little girl Buffy makes the decision to rip the picture – and to protect older Buffy. And it's just, it's so sweet. It's just precious, no matter which way you put it. All right, so let's talk about some stuff that's a little bit darker than that. This episode depicts a vampire variation of a crack house in which humans allow vampires to partially feed upon them in exchange for the high the experience provides humans. Sunnydale's seedier side will receive more attention in the form of magic drug dealer Rack and his operations in season 6. And then we have an even more extreme version in LA where humans get high on drugs and then allow vampires to partially feed upon them, heightening the effect for both humans and vampires. You have Connor coming back and he ends up being with a girl when she ODs, his first human friend. And like the, but specifically I want to talk about season 6. We're going to be dealing more and more with addiction and all of this other stuff as we get into season 6 with Willow. And we're going to start getting some convoluted storylines when it comes to how exactly magic is addictive and how that works out. And some, like, there's going to be varying degrees of success. I think sometimes it's done well, sometimes it's a little confusing because the show doesn't quite delve into the lore as much as they could. But it's really interesting, kind of like talking about all of that. It's interesting how both Riley and Spike's storylines this season have been about them chasing danger and pain because they hate who they are as a form of self-harm. And we kind of talked about this in the spoiler-free episode. And then in season 6, one of the biggest storylines will be Buffy self-harming through a sexual relationship with Spike, which is why, okay, and this is where we're going to be talking about As You Were, which is why Riley coming back is somewhat fitting in As You Were. And I know, Leah, you were talking about how you didn't quite understand why they have Riley. So I'm going to kind of break it down a little bit for you and tell you why I think they were doing that. So in As You Were, Buffy is at her lowest. She's so low. She's having sex with Spike, and she's also received a rejection letter for readmittance to UC Sunnydale again. She tries to go back to college, and college rejects her, which is interesting because it mirrors that cut scene in Buffy versus Dracula when Riley gets a rejection letter. So they do a lot of parallels between where Riley was at in season 5 to where Buffy is at in season 6. So Buffy's working a dead-end job. She's unhappy with life. And then we have Riley showing up while she's at her dead-end job, and he tells her the words, "I need the best. Like, I need your help, Buffy." And it's kind of framed the exact same way as Graham showing up for Riley when he's at his lowest and saying, "Hey, I need your help," and stuff. And so Buffy kind of feels like, oh, I have purpose again. I'm needed. Like, let me go back to the time in my life when I felt like I was at the top of my gang. And so it's going to be framed as if Buffy is forced to rely on Riley in the way he is always needed, and she's going to be vulnerable, but she can't have him.
I'm sure that's great and that's true. The parallels, I don't know.
Yeah, see, it's there.
That's how I feel, is the fact that it's like, sure, him coming back, I guess, makes sense. Like, if you make a connection from season 5, like, it makes sense. My thing is more so of like, I feel like we could have told that story through someone else.
I was about
else.
To say, I was like, but, yeah.
Why couldn't we told that even through Xander, who like had a very hopeless period? Why couldn't you have told that through Giles or Willow, or like, I just, or like, have Buffy figure it out on her own? Like,
I don't think it's a problem, except for the fact, and let me finish how the rest of the episode frames it. So then we have the conversation with Sam, Riley's wife, where she talks about how, or Buffy talks about how she wishes things were different. And Sam asks Buffy if she wishes that she had gone after Riley, or she wishes she hadn't let Riley leave. And Buffy kind of like doesn't really know what to say. She doesn't say anything. And then she says, "I wish things were different." And it's framed where Buffy watches Sam and Riley fighting the demon as if this is the life you could have had, Buffy. This is the one that got away. You could have been their superpowered couple, just like Sam and Riley. That's the whole purpose of Riley's wife, honestly, is to show Buffy what her life could have been. And then But then
except
Sam,
it would have never looked like that.
No, it wouldn't have. And then Sam says that it took Riley a year to get over Buffy. But then Riley tells Buffy that they were Sam and Sam were married 4 months before that.
That's
and
what I was thinking too.
That episode is episode 15
since he left.
Yeah. So does that mean that they were like together
right away?
And they were married when he was still getting over Buffy.
I mean, the timeline is never.
We've definitely seen real life examples of this.
Yeah, we have. It's just a little weird, unless they're having season six go by a different time frame. But that doesn't make sense because every single season of Buffy follows the calendar year, actual calendar year when it's aired. But okay. The other reason why they bring Riley back is it's not just to show Buffy what her life could have been, but it's also to snap her out of having sex with Spike. So all of this causes Buffy to feel insecure. So she goes and sees Spike, and then she says, "Tell me that you love me. Tell me that you want me." They have sex. Riley comes in, sees them after having sex, thankfully not during. And then it's revealed that the big bad that Riley has been chasing is Spike, who is the doctor. And Buffy doesn't believe Riley. She says, "Oh, it's Spike. He's harmless. Like he's incapable. He's incompetent. He's incapable of doing this." And Riley's like, have you forgotten who Spike really is? And then she chooses to follow Riley and not believe Spike, and then finds out that Spike actually has been doing deals with other demons and has been keeping like these eggs in this nest and stuff like that. And so then you have Buffy realizing that she has been sleeping with Spike to numb herself. And then there's actually a really good conversation. Oh, well, in the midst of that. So Spike tells Riley, when Riley sees Buffy and Spike together, he says, "I told you, what can I say? The girl just needs a little monster in her man," as a reference to this episode. Kind of saying, "Ha ha, suck it." Mm-hmm. Like, I got
her.
Yeah,
like, I knew what she needed, which is so funny because she's never felt worse.
Right. Right.
Like, he literally is like a monster just draining her of her life force.
He's a vampire.
Really got this one in the bag. She's miserable.
They sleep together. She says that's the most degraded she's ever felt. And he's like, "I got her."
That's such a man thing to be like, "Whew, really got this in the bag. Really, I knew this girl."
And she's like hating
she's
herself.
She's about to break up with you. She hates you.
Right.
That's just teasing you. Funny.
You're just convenient.
Yeah. No, yeah,
she's
exactly.
Actually, she's miserable. That's actually so funny.
Yeah. Well, and then Spike does continue to egg Riley on. And it's interesting because, Leah, you made a point in the spoiler-free section. I don't know if it's this episode or if it's a later one, where Spike is egging Riley on in season 5, and Riley keeps falling for it. Everything that Spike says, Riley's like, "Oh yeah, okay, you must be right," even though you're like, "Okay, really? It's Spike talking."
You're just a freaking idiot.
Yeah. But I think they're making the parallels to the fact that the things that Spike is saying to Buffy, like, "Tell me you love me, tell me you want me," Buffy is just choosing to believe those things because she so desperately wants someone to want her and to feel something. And so they're making that the parallel. Now Riley's not buying it anymore. Riley is completely unfazed by everything that Spike says. And so they show that because Riley now has purpose in life. Riley now has confidence. Riley has a wife, I guess you could say.
He's
Riley
a married man. He now has purpose.
No, I don't. Like, I don't.
Sometimes that's what that episode gives me is like, oh, Riley found a wife that loves him, therefore he has purpose. Which I know
no,
that's probably
I
not
agree.
What they're trying to give, but like,
yes,
that's
it
just
comes
the way
off
I take
that way.
It. It's like it comes off. It also comes off very like, this is such a Christian trauma thing, but it comes off as very like your whole purpose is finding a man, a man or woman,
right.
And like getting married,
you're
and
whole,
you're not
you
really
have your purpose.
You're not yeah, you're not really happy or have full mm-hmm, purpose until you're married, which is so ironic coming from an engaged woman who's 22. Like I'm the make and model for that.
Lee and I
but
joke
like,
about that when she first started dating, like her fiance.
I became
now,
my worst nightmare.
Like, we both and I sat and talked about it. Because I was like, out of the two of us growing up,
No one in hell.
Married at 22.
Leah would have found the lover life at 20.
I know.
We even joked about it in the beginning. We're like, what is this, Leah? Like, you're losing the plot. Like, you're being.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't but- you, Leah.
Look into my eyes. But it's just funny because it's like, when you're, it's different because Riley's a guy, but it's, I still feel like you get that same message where it's like, well, maybe if Buffy had married Riley, she would have figured it out. And it's like, no, that's not it. That's not it. And I feel like the writers almost give that message where it's like, Riley just needed someone to wholeheartedly love him. No, Riley needed to figure out what Riley wanted.
Yes. Like,
and that's, I think, what pisses me off the most in the episode is like, it almost blames Buffy for not giving Riley his purpose. Where his wife gave him his purpose.
Well, it completely misses the. All right, here, let me finish this, and then I'll give my thoughts at the end. All right, so there's more. So, that's when, you know, Riley reminds Buffy how harmful Spike is, and that's when she kind of sees Spike for who he is for the first time in a long time. And then, after all of that, Riley and Buffy have this conversation where Buffy is just down. She's like, you know, I'm the lowest that I've ever been. But it's the first time that she recognizes and says out loud to someone, I'm sleeping with Spike. And like, you see that it becomes real for her. And then Riley kind of gives Buffy a pep talk where he tells her that she's a hell of a woman and that just because she's not doing well doesn't mean that that defines who she is. It's actually very sweet. But the problem is, he tells her, he's like, no, it's not like someone, there's no winning or losing. We're not trying to say, oh, hey, just because I'm doing better in my life right now doesn't mean I've won the breakup, essentially. Like, he talks about the wheel of life. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Right now you just happen to be down. But the thing that makes it so irritating
is, why do I not believe him?
Yeah. It's fine.
He's like saying something nice. I'm like,
it's because we're all in the throes of this season. I bet you Riley's going to look real good when we get to that episode.
But it's also like, you know, like, again, this sounds so freaking stupid coming from a 22-year-old, but it's like, you know when you're talking to someone and they're giving you such basic freaking advice and you're just looking at them and you're like, you will never go through in your lifetime what I have been through.
Yeah.
Which is, again, guys, I know I'm 22 years old. I'm a white woman. I have not experienced things that other people have, you know, and vice versa. But, you know, like when you talk to someone and they're just like talking about like some issue and you're just sitting there and you're like, you don't get it. Oh my God.
Yeah. When you've had firsthand experience.
That's how that feels to me when Riley is talking to her. And I'm like,
sure.
You freaking think she doesn't get that? You think that Buffy doesn't get having good times and bad times? She's died. Literally died twice. She's killed her boyfriend. She's had her mom die in front of her. Like, she's had high highs, low lows. And Riley Finn is standing in front of her being like, you know, I was at a really low low and I was letting people suck me off, but now I'm married. You know? cycles. And you're like, Riley, literally shut up. Like, literally just shut up. We get it. We know life is a cycle. We get it. But like him being the one to give that to her, I just was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
No, you know? I agree with that. Totally.
It's like guys having that TikTok trend where it's like guys thinking about something they think is so deep that you thought about in fifth grade and you have to sit there and just nod your head and go,
no, literally.
Or it's like I've just never thought about the fact that I have like autonomy in myself. Like, I can control whatever I can do in life. And they're sitting there thinking like it's the most mind-blowing thing they've ever thought of. And you're sitting there being like, yeah, babe. I've been thinking that. Like, that's what he kind of gives. He's like trying to give her advice. And she's sitting there being like, I know, Riley. I literally am the one and only slayer outside of Faith. But like, I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. You don't think I think about this?
But that's what pisses me off is they don't have her react like that. They have her react like, oh, like, this is news to me. Like,
and that's what pisses me off is like being empathetic towards her. I think that's what it's supposed to be.
I know, but it's like, bruh, I just wish it was someone else. I wish it was someone else besides Riley, because it being Riley is just kind of a slap in the face.
And I get that. I think you can take the good and be like, this is Buffy at her lowest. No one at this point knows she's sleeping with Spike. So having someone that has seen that and still accepts her and tells her that it's going to be okay, she's going to get better. But also her kind of getting that little like wake up call of, I need to stop this, and being inspired by, encouraged by the fact that Riley made it out of that dark time, even if maybe it wasn't as bad as Buffy's, he still made it out of that dark time and she can too. I think you can still take that and see that as a good thing. It is, yes, there are other problematic things. The thing, I haven't even gotten to the thing that frustrates me the most. Sorry, the thing, sir, that frustrates me the most. Oh, it's okay. It's
fine. Keep interrupting you.
It's all good. It's a triggering episode. I didn't, I just thought it was interesting because it's very relevant to this episode in particular. The end of all that, Buffy apologizes to Riley. Oh, she says, I just want to say I'm sorry for how things ended.
Stop making Buffy apologize. Also, we believe Buffy. Those are the two causes that I feel like need to be talked about and more.
You know what? To Riley's credit, he tells her, you never need to apologize.
Okay. Well,
and yet, what does he not do for Buffy?
He doesn't apologize to her.
Exactly.
Yep. It's like, I agree.
It's okay, babe. I didn't even need the apology.
Because I'm married now.
You know who did? You know who did need the apology? Buffy. And me. I need a personal apology, actually.
Why was that so funny?
We're taking up so much freaking screen time. Can you please apologize to me?
No, we the viewers need compensation.
Yeah, I need compensation. I need apology. And then coming back for this stupid episode, like, no.
All right, so the last thing I wanted to say about that episode is, after all of that, Buffy then goes to Spike and she tells him she's not going to sleep with him anymore. And then she tells him that she's.
I actually love that conversation.
Yes. And she's wearing the best outfit we've seen her wear that entire season. It's light, it's so bright, cute. She looks beautiful.
It's like Buffy.
Yes, she looks happy. Even the way that she walks out of that episode, you see there's like a light on her. She just feels lighter she has all season.
It's the, when a girl knows that she's actually done with, like, when you want to break up with someone, there is no turning. Like, when you, in your brain, you're like, you're resolute about it.
Yeah.
She walks in and I'm like, oh, that is a girl who is done with Spike.
And Spike,
like,
sees it too. Yes. He knows it. You can see the look on his face. Yep. Yeah, so she tells him that she's using him and it's killing her, and then she apologizes to Spike. So again, it's the linking of the two guys. It's the making Buffy out to be in the wrong for how she treats them, and that kind of goes into the next thing I want to say. So Xander in this episode in Into the Woods accuses Buffy of seeing Riley as convenient, and that's one of the key words that Buffy uses when she rejects Spike after they first sleep together and wrecked. She says, you're just convenient. So this, along with the increasingly murky waters that surround demons, is going to cause more confusion once we get to season 6, because the show attempts to paint Buffy as in the wrong for how she treats Spike in season 6. And they're going to use Riley as proof of this and say, look how Buffy treated Riley. That's how she's treating Spike.
I would say up until seeing Rick, because I'm not even touching that with the 10-foot pole right now.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm not watching that one for research, by the way, guys. We're going to go off of memory for that one.
That one is purely trauma. But I will say, I do think to a certain extent, Buffy does use Spike.
Sure. But she doesn't use him maliciously. It's to help herself feel something.
Yes, yes. And I
also
think
she's honest about her boundaries with him, too.
Well, and I also think he's kind of aware of it. I don't think an apology was completely out of the blue for her. Like, not out of the blue, but I think it was okay for her to apologize to Spike at that moment.
Sure.
Because she knew he was in love with her.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that one's a little different, but I do think that, like, putting all the blame on Buffy for every relationship going wrong is just so stupid.
No, I agree with you. It is a little different. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show the parallels between Spike and Riley and how the show is trying to create this narrative using them, like, oh, look, Buffy has a pattern.
This is the moment Sarah comes out as a Riley apologist. She's been gaslighting us this whole time. It's like, that being said,
I really think that Buffy was just – in the wrong and that poor Riley, poor Spike were being used.
It's not even funny.
Okay. You guys do it to me all the time. It's my turn to trigger you guys. No, but that's something I really want to discuss so much in season 6 and 7 is how much the show forces Buffy to apologize for things that are not her fault. How much Buffy just is painted out to be the villain when she's not. And at the end of the day, I appreciate so much that Buffy felt that she even calls Spike William in that moment too. Like she's showing him respect, more respect than he freaking deserves. She's treating him with respect. She's treating him as a man. And he told her, like, you treat me like a man in season 5. Like, he wants to be treated that way, but he's also okay, like you said, with her using him. And so Buffy's saying, hey, if I'm going to treat you like a man and not as a thing that I'm using, then I got to be consistent. And that includes not just sleeping with you because you're convenient and it makes me feel better. So I appreciate that. I just, for me, it's frustrating because then we have, you know, dead things later on and stuff where it's like, again, trying to paint Buffy as the villain and Spike the victim. And it's like, guys, at the end of the day, he is a soulless vampire. If she were to go up to him and stake him in that episode, she would be 100% within her right. And I think if she did do that, the show would be like, oh my gosh, look how heartless she is, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real problem. And that's where things start to get kind of murky. And then the show kind of breaks down with the lore. So closing this all out, I want to ask you guys questions so we can get this done with, so we don't have to talk about this. We don't have to talk about Riley for the rest of season 5. If Riley had stayed, you guys, through season 5 and they had worked through this, how do you guys think Riley would have responded in the body or even to Buffy's death in the gift?
What type of tomfoolery question is this?
I'm just curious.
I've never once thought about Riley in the context of the body. I feel like he would be...
I think that's kind of like an impossible question because obviously I think he would mourn.
Sure.
I think they would – honestly, I don't think they would focus on him a lot.
Yeah. You think he'd be missing like Spike was where you have everybody else there?
I think he would be there, but like I think only it would be very hospital. Like he would have like a scene where he finds out or whatever, mm-hmm. but I don't really think they would focus on him. And I don't think they should.
Yeah.
And I think in the case of when she dies, I mean, I think it would honestly be similar to Spike of just like having a moment to himself.
I feel like he would just show up at the hospital and it was implied that someone else called him because they're not going to like focus on Buffy calling her boyfriend to tell them that her mom died. Like she's probably like in the midst of trauma, hypervision.
So you know? I was going to ask you this question, but then I realized the answer is like right in front of us. I was going to say, well, which of the Scoobies' response do you think Riley would have been more like trying to find a shirt like Willow? And then I realized that Xander literally punched a wall.
I was about to literally say definitely punching the wall. Yeah.
And we saw Riley punching walls in Out of My Mind. So I think that's our answer right there. So. Yeah. I mean, it's just something interesting to think about. I think it's a really hard question to answer just because if Riley had stuck around for the rest of season 5, we wouldn't have had so much turmoil in their relationship up till now. And I think that would like change a lot of the ways that they interact with each other. And so if we were to talk about how they've been interacting for this entire season, it'd be pretty easy to try and figure out how Riley would respond in those 2 episodes. But if they had a much healthier relationship, it'd be a lot harder to determine how Riley would respond specifically in the body. So anyway, just something to think about. Listeners, you guys can let us know what you guys think Riley would be doing for the rest of season 5. If he had stuck around, what do you think the writers would have done? How do you think that they would have tried to incorporate him more into the Scooby gang and into the show in a more positive way? And let us know your guys' thoughts about all of this stuff when it comes to season 6 and the metaphors and even just with As You Were, because I don't know, that episode is just, it's a lot like this one in that I see some merit to it. I think this episode is worse, actually, now that I think about it. But when it comes to As You Were, I think there is some merit to it. But I do know that a lot of people just have a lot of issues, and just like what we talked about with the representation of Riley coming back and what all that means. So let us know your guys' thoughts, guys. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Tumblr at Becoming Buffy Podcast. And you can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support us and listen to our spoiler recap for each of these episodes, you can join our Buy Me a Coffee at buymeacoffee.com/becomingbuffy. Speaking of which, special shout out and thank you to our producers, Christine, CJ, Kate, Omri, Paul, and Cashan. Thank you so much to all of our listeners, and we will talk to you all next time.